come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with my pick of October. And given the fact that it's spooky season, I figured we could do an action horror movie. So I chose From Dusk Till Dawn from 1996.
Nice, nice.
It's been a minute since I've watched this.
Yeah, been a few years for me too, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably pushing like a decade.
Oh, I don't think it's that long for me. Maybe like 7 years, 8 years, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Nice.
But yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. I have a long history with this movie.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is like one of the my movies that I watched way too young.
Ah, I mean,
Probably.
yeah. I can understand why.
But yeah,
All right. Before we talk about it, though, we'll kick off our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight? More Log Tread?
More Log Tread, you know it.
All right. So we've packed up all our alcohol.
Yep.
I'm all out of Jaeger because I finished that the other day whenever we were recording Elm Street. And today Sarah packed up all of our glasses. So I'm drinking whiskey out of a coffee mug.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Cause that's about my only option.
Nice.
Yeah. What have you, well, okay. So we just recorded 2 days ago.
Yeah.
We're recording this a week early because I'm moving next week and it's just going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
Have you watched anything since we last talked?
I have not, no.
No. Okay.
We watched 30 minutes of the first episode of Ed Gein's story. It's pretty good so far, and like I'm just blown away by fucking Charlie Hunnam. Like similarly to what's his face? The Last Monster season.
For Dahmer.
Far Dahmer. Like just went all in on the character. Like it's actually insane.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. So, yeah.
I've been seeing some like mixed reviews. Like, I think people are saying he's done a good job, but they don't like his voice in it.
I like it. I mean, I don't. I think it fits the character.
Yeah.
But, like, from what I've heard someone say, is like they still didn't even really. Like, it still felt like they didn't tell his full story. Like it seems like he's been like obviously he's you know Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Psycho, Silence of the Lambs, all these movies, and he's still like one of the guys, the killers who like no one has really dived into or kind of like I don't know, it's weird.
He's like one of the most famous, but one of the least high profiles, I guess, like in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But yeah, we're gonna continue watching it, obviously. But
yeah,
that's all we've watched,
nice.
Or I've watched.
All right. I was off sick yesterday, so I actually watched a couple of things. Actually, I don't need to share my screen. It's not enough to really. Actually, touching on Psycho, I watched that yesterday.
Oh, nice.
As part of my Hooptober.
Yeah.
Fucking love that movie. 4.5 stars for me on that one. And then I watched, we both got the 4K Steelbook special edition of Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
So I watched that yesterday, also part of my Hooptober. And I was telling you in the special features on, or sorry, in the subtitles on this one, they have a zombie speak subtitle option.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, man. It just adds a whole other element to the movie.
That's
and,
funny.
Because like you kind of get an inside look at what the zombies are thinking and like
Yeah.
what they're saying whenever they're speaking and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's a 4-star movie for me, that one.
Nice.
So yeah, I think this weekend I'm going to be packing up Because I left all my 4Ks out of boxes still,
Okay.
because I wanted them all to stay together once we move. So I figured it'd just be easier. So I think I'm probably gonna end up packing those up this weekend. But
Nice.
yeah. All right, for the box office, I'm gonna start off with some that aren't in the top five, but I want to talk about them.
Okay.
In 10th place, it's a big tie for 10th, but Anemone came out this weekend.
All right, yep.
That's Daniel
Daniel
Day-Lewis's
Day-Lewis.
son. And he came out of retirement to act in this movie. So I'm very interested to see how it is, and I really want to watch it. But a horror movie that a lot of people are talking about in its opening weekend, Bone Lake.
Haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it looks fucking wild from what I've seen. That's also in a tie for 10th place. And then in 9th place in its opening weekend, we have Good Boy,
Nice.
which is the horror movie seen through the eyes of a dog. I'm very interested to see how that is.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah. All right. So now into the top five. In 5th place, we have The Conjuring Last Rites, brought in 4.1 million. In 4th place, we have Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie,
Hell yeah.
brought in 5.3. In 3rd, we have The Smashing Machine in its opening weekend,
Nice.
5.8 million. And in 2nd place, One Battle After Another brought in 11 million. I want to see that so bad.
I know, yeah, me too.
People are saying it's Leo's best movie,
Yeah.
and it looks so good. And no surprise, if you knew that this was released, you could probably guess that it was going to be in the top. But in its opening weekend, Taylor Swift, the official release party of The Life of a Showgirl,
So
sorry,
Jesus.
the official release party of a showgirl, brought in $34 million.
Oh my God.
I'm kind of surprised that Sarah didn't go watch it. I'm sure if we sold the theater in Brockville, she would have. But yeah, that rounds out the top five.
Nice.
So, what do we have for 4Ks for next week?
So got we got Fantastic Four First Steps. So maybe that means it's coming to Disney Plus next week. That'd be
Be
cool.
cool.
Knock Knock, which I still need to watch.
Don't expect much, but it's a
Yeah, I
movie.
know. Yeah.
Okay.
We got Jacob's Ladder, and Weapons.
Sick.
Hell yeah. Weapons Steelbook. That's sick. The Bone Collector.
Ah, your favorite movie.
Oh, amazing movie. The Extraordinary Dance. Oh, mess. I think it's called Message in a Bottle. I have no idea. I don't know. Alfred Hitchcock Ultimate Collection.
Oh, finally. Anyways,
Lord of the
sorry.
Rings, Return of the King.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but so these steelbooks, they release each one individually, and they're like 6 months apart kind of thing. But all three of them have been released in England. I've been waiting for the third one to come out, so I could buy all three.
Nice.
So I'm very excited that that is released, because the fucking steelbooks are gorgeous, man.
Yeah, they are. We got the Devil's Rejects 20th Anniversary Edition, Mad Foxes, Asylum, Baskin.
Sick.
That's
I
funny.
love that that's got a 4K. That's awesome.
Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS. Mission Impossible 8, Final Reckoning. And Eyes Without a Face, The Criterion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, some good movies.
Sweet. Sorry, I'm just making a note to check for that 4K. Okay, cool. Let me pull up my notes. All right, ready to talk about this movie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about From Dusk Till Dawn from 1996. Starting off with the synopsis, Two criminals and their hostages unknowingly seek temporary refuge in a truck stop populated by vampires with chaotic results. It's a bar, not a truck stop, but whatever.
Well, kind of right, because it's only bikers and truckers are allowed there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still a bar. This is directed by Robert Rodriguez, who is no stranger to either one of our podcasts. He did El Mariachi and he did Desperado, which we've covered on this one. Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Spy Kids, The Faculty, which we've covered in on Elm Street, Sin City, the Grindhouse movies, the Machete movies. He has such a fucking sick and wide range of movies.
Definitely not the last one we'll be doing his.
No, just over the top action. And then he's got Spy Kids and he's got horror trickled in there. He's just, I don't know, I mean, he's all over the place, but I love it. This cast, dude, holy shit. We have Harvey Keitel playing Jacob, George Clooney playing Seth, Quentin Tarantino playing Richie. Tarantino helped write this as well. Juliette Lewis playing Kate. And then so many honorable mentions.
It's crazy.
So I have a big list. I'll let you go through whoever you want to say. And I'll fill in if there's
All
any
right.
more.
So we got John Saxon as FBI agent Stanley Chase. He's in it for about 2 seconds. We got Michael Parks. Is that back-to-back Michael Parks movies?
What was our last movie?
Kill Bill, wasn't it?
Oh, wait, was
Was it
Kill
Kill
Bill up?
Bill?
No,
That was
no.
God. No.
Godzilla was on Elm
Oh,
Street.
yeah. Anyway, yeah, Michael
Anyways,
Parks also in it for about
5 minutes.
3 minutes. And I don't know this guy, but I feel like I should. Fred Williamson.
Yeah, man. Definitely. We've had, I swear to God, we've done one of his movies, but I was going through his list and I couldn't find it. But there's some movies
Oh,
on his,
Jesus.
there's
I
some movies
can't.
on.
Listen, we can't say that title, that movie.
No,
Holy.
there's two of them. And I remember specifically calling those two out on the episode of whatever fucking movie it was that he was in. Or maybe he's a director. I don't remember. But I remember seeing those two and we were like, oh shit.
Oh, he was in VFW.
Yeah, but we didn't cover that movie, did we?
No, we didn't know, but
Yeah.
that's funny.
Yeah. So our last episode was Akira. The one before that was The Northman.
Oh, Jesus.
And the one before that was Kill Bill.
Yes, okay, that makes sense. who else you got?
Oh shit. Well, Salma Hayek in Jesus Christ, man. Wow. Cheech Marin playing three roles.
Amazing.
A very young and short-haired Danny Trejo.
Oh, yeah. He looks so good in this movie.
He does, man. Our boy Tom Savini.
Plane.
What was his name? Sex Machine?
Sex
Yeah.
Machine.
Our other boy, Greg Nicotero.
Oh, he was in this too?
Yeah, he played his buddy that he's sitting at the table with.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You said Michael Parks already, Fred Williams. John Hawks. So the guy that he's the cashier at the beginning. He was in, I should have wrote it down, but he's been in some shit. If you look him up, you'll definitely recognize him. And then there's a bunch of dudes from Desperado. So like the guys at the end that came in, and the singer of the band was the guy that's sitting down beside Tarantino at the bar in Desperado.
Nice.
But yeah, man, it's and there's I think there's even more, but I just
Probably, yeah.
you run out of space.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, let's dive into this movie. Unless you got anything
Notes.
more.
No, I don't know. Just gonna get my notes up. So movie opens up. There's the sheriff at a liquor store. I had to turn the subtitles on this because like could barely hear what he was saying in this part. But basically telling like the store owner about like how there's these two guys that are on the loose, like robbers. They've killed four rangers, three cops, a civilian. They have a hostage in their car, and they are heading to the border of Mexico. And the sheriff asked to go to the bathrooms in the bathroom, and then we see the two brothers, Seth and Richard, have these girls hostage, and they basically told the guy, like, shut the fuck up and we won't hurt you. And I think I haven't seen many George Clooney movies. I think I need to like watch more of his movies, but this is by far my favorite role of his, I think.
What
It's true.
I'm with you though. Yeah, because this is just such an out of character type movie for him. Because like his big role at this point during the filming of this movie was ER. So he played a doctor in a fucking hospital drama, and then all of a sudden he comes in and he's a fucking ruthless thief with a big tattoo up the side of his neck, and he's just cursing and swearing and killing everybody. It's just, it was just such a weird role for him to take, but it worked out so well.
And like watching this and like, girls went crazy over this guy, still go crazy over this guy. And I get it in this movie. Like
Oh,
he
yeah.
has so much confidence. Like it's just crazy. And like he's so good in it. Tarantino, on the other hand, he does a good job, but this is probably like I hate this fucking character so much.
I
Like, this is
agree.
probably my most hated character in any movie I've seen. I'm not even
Wow.
lying. Like,
Okay.
he's a fucking pedophile. He's a sex offender. I don't get why Seth helps him so much in this movie. Like, Richard fucks everything up, is like the reason why Seth is basically running away from the cops because Richard's the one that has killed all these people, basically. Or Seth has had no choice to do it. And like Seth says in this movie, like, I'm a fucking thief. Like, I don't fucking kill people. Like, and Richard is like crazy. Like, at this part, when the cops in the bathroom, they come out, and Richard's like, oh, he's whispering to Seth. And Seth's like, my brother says that you were tapping or doing signals to the cop. And like, Richie is just fucking seeing shit, right?
Well, this is after Richie fucking shoots the cop in the back of the head. Like he kills Michael Parker's character.
Because he tells Seth even before, he's like, "Why don't we just go into the fucking bathroom? He's taking a piss and shoot him in the back of the head." But then he does it anyway.
I don't know what the significance of them being in the store is. 'Cause like, did they go in for any reason? Unless maybe they're just going to rob the place, 'cause they are thieves, I guess.
No, they went in to get the map, but then Richie
Yeah, Richie fucked
either
up.
ran into the ladies and then hell broke loose, I think.
Yeah, because they walk in with the two girls, and it's just like, you don't know why they have these two girls.
But yeah, the guy behind the bar is shooting back. Richie ends up getting shot in the hand. And then they end up like lighting the guy on fire.
Such a
And
sick
like,
scene.
like Richie's like duct taping his hand and
Yeah. I'll talk about the scene later on too, but they're hiding behind the fucking the racks, and the cashier has to reload his gun, Seth has to reload his gun, and then Richie's freaking the fuck out because he's got a hole through his hand. And then Seth's like, okay, when I count to three, you're gonna shoot all the liquor bottles behind the bar. And then at the same time, he's grabbing a fucking roll of toilet paper and he's soaking it in lighter fluid. And he counts to three. Richie shoots all the bottles, and then he fucking lights the toilet paper on fire, and just hucks it, and just fucking sets the whole place on fire. So sick.
So they end up making it to a hotel. They have a lady hostage who is like a wife, has three kids, stuff like that. And seems like a very nice lady. Seth is going to get food for some fucking reason, leaves Richard with her. Like, why? Like, send Richard to get food. I
Yeah.
guess that's kind of dangerous too, because you
Probably
never know
doesn't
what the
matter.
fuck he's gonna do, honestly. And she's like sitting on the chair, and he goes in there and he's like, come watch TV with me. And she goes in there, and yeah. And then it cuts to we meet Jacob and the kids. Jacob's like a former pastor, and his kids are Kate and Scott. And he wants to stop at the hotel because he just wants a normal bed. And like they're trying to convince him not to. So like so much stuff in this movie could have been avoided if like one decision was made or changed, right?
Pull over on the side of the road, sleep in your RV.
Yeah, that's
But
exactly what Kate says. Like, we're in an RV, like.
he said he wants to sleep in a godforsaken bed for one more night.
And yeah, he says he was a pastor. He mentions Jenny died, who he learned later is his wife. So yeah, Seth gets back for the burgers. You see the door close into the bedroom, and Richie's just kind of chilling, and you just have this weird feeling like something bad happened. And Seth's like, where's the girl? Where's the lady? And opens the door, and like it doesn't show what happened really, but like Seth is just like his jaw's on the floor. He just is staring into space, and it just like kind of cuts back and forth like quickly between like you see like just blood and stuff in the room, and then after you kind of see her like semi naked and just like dead on the bed. And
And
Seth
there's
just freaks the fuck out and is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
There is blood everywhere in that room. It's like he took a chainsaw, dipped it in her blood, and then just fucking sprayed it all over the place.
Then Richie's like, oh, it's her fault, like she went crazy. And so it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, she was like the sweet lady, like, and then Richie's like, oh, as soon as he left, like her demeanor changed, and it's like, oh my God, man. So they end up going into Jacob's room. They end up taking the three of them hostage, and they are going to be using them to go across the border. And even in this scene, like Richie is just he's fucking losing it because he's like standing behind Kate, and then like she turns to him and says something about like, I don't know, why don't you like sniff my pussy or something like some weird like that.
And because she was in the pool, and then she comes to the door, and she opens the door, and she's like, "What the fuck's going on here?" And he's like, "It's a bikini contest, and you just won." And like the whole time she's standing there in her, like she's covered up like with a towel around her bottom, but you can see she's wearing a bikini on top. And he's just like staring at her, and he's like clenching his fists, and he's just like just being so creepy, man.
He is, So yeah, they are making their way to the border. They're gonna use Jacob and the kids to get them across and then let them go after. I really like Seth in this movie. Like, he's a bad guy, but like not really. Like,
He knows that they need to get across the border, and like he's just a no bullshit kind of guy. Like he's asking Jacob questions about him and stuff, and then he's like, "You know what? Like I don't really give a fuck about you or your family. I just need to get across the border."
And like he knows that Richie is fucked up because he tells Jacob, like, you saw how my brother's looking at your daughter, right? And Jacob's like, yeah. And he's like, well, get me across the border, nothing happened to your daughter at all. So there, and then at this part too, Richie is like, so do you want me to do what you asked me to do at the hotel? And she's like, what? He's like, what you asked me to do at the hotel? She's still confused. She's like, what did I say? And then he's about to say, and then like Seth's like cuts him off or something like that. So they get to the border, and this is where we meet Cheech Marin for the first time.
Version one.
Version one. He plays border security. And so Jacob and Scott are in the front, and they have Kate in the bathroom, hiding. And, the security comes up to Jacob's like, "What are you guys doing?" And he's like, "Oh, it's just the two of us. I'm taking my son somewhere." And then in the bathroom, Seth tells Richard not to act like a fucking nut. And Richie just loses his mind. Like, they're getting put to get searched, and he's just like yelling and shit. And Seth is like, "No, I didn't say you were a nut." And Richard's like, "Well, you insinuated that I've been acting like one." And just like escalating it. And Seth's like, "Shut the fuck up." And he like pushes Kate or something, and then like, they get like a loud noise. And the border security ends up coming on, and then it just like Kate's sitting on the toilet taking a piss, and they're hiding in the shower.
This is, yeah, because Seth knocks him out too.
He does, yeah.
Punches him out just to shut him the
Yeah.
fuck up.
Yeah. He's such an idiot, man. But yeah, they end up getting past the border into Mexico. And so they are going to the meetup spot, the rendezvous spot, to wait for Carlos, who, spoiler alert, is also played by Cheech Marin.
Version three.
Version three. they're going to a little bar called the Titty Twister.
Fuck yeah.
Vampires aside, I think this may be the coolest bar in a movie that I can think of right now.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, man. Like, they have a live band playing like mariachi music, but like heavier. And they have like girls dancing everywhere, and like they're on podiums, but then they're also up on like a balcony, and then they're dancing on
Yeah.
tables, and it's just like Coyote Ugly on steroids.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And it's just like, if you're not drinking, you're fighting in this bar, is what it's basically
Yeah.
looks like.
Exactly. Yeah. But they get up to the bar, and we meet version two of Cheech Marin, a character called Chet Pussy, I believe. And he goes on like a 5-minute rant about all the different kind of pussy that you can get at this bar. So funny. Just the way he says it, it's like bloody pussy, smelly pussy. So Carlos is going to be meeting them just before dawn, and then they're walking out of the bar, and Chet's like, "Oh, we got a new kind of pussy, apple pie pussy." It's like, what? So they get in there, they go to the bar, and Danny Trejo is the bartender. And like we said, like, he looks so young in this movie. And he's and before this, Chet wasn't gonna let them in, and Seth kind of goes nuts and beats the fuck out of him, breaks his nose, and then Richie ends up kicking him when he's down. So they get in there, asking for some drinks, and then the bartender says, "Can't serve you, get the fuck out. This is a private bar. This is for bikers and truckers only." And then Jacob kind of steps up and is like, "Oh, you said this is for truckers only. Well, my RV out there, I need a class 2 license to drive." Shows him the license, and he's like, "All right, what can I get you?" And like, I love Harvey Keitel in this movie, because like, you see kind of both sides of like the way that he can act, right? Because like, Harvey Keitel from like the 70s, 80s, right? He's this fucking badass, like amazing actor. And this one, he's like kind of like a innocent pastor, right? But then you see like his acting chops come out in a couple scenes with Seth, I found.
Like at first, at the start, he kind of, I don't like, he's not timid, but like he's just doing what they say because he doesn't want them to bring harm to his family and whatnot. And then the scene whenever they're sitting at the table, I fucking love it. Like the dialogue between the two.
And we meet Sex Machine. He's got the fucking pistol dick thing.
Which came from, well, it made a reappearance in Desperado.
So yeah, we get the performance by San, what's her full name? Santanico, what is it?
Pandemonium or something.
Yeah, Pandemonium. And that's a big ass snake that she has there. Like, was that, I'm guessing that was real. Like, do you have some trivia on that?
Oh, it's real. Salma Hayek was like deathly terrified of snakes. And she went through a camera, I think it was 2 months of therapy just to be able to film this scene. So she could like kind of tamper down her fear of it. But yeah, it's a real snake.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, we get this like 5 minute performance
Oh,
from
man.
her, and oh man. Yeah.
12-year-old me and 36-year-old me had some feelings on that scene.
Yeah, so like she goes up to the table that all of them are sitting at, and she like takes the liquor and like runs in her leg and puts her foot in Tarantino's mouth, and oh man,
Lucky fuck.
yeah, exactly. But then after the dance, we see Chet and a couple other guys come in, and they tell the bartender that these guys beat the fuck out of them, and they start this like big shootout. They end up like shooting a couple of the guys. We see them shoot Chet. And then behind them, you see Salma Hayek is like, she sees Richie's bloody hand, and then you see her turn into a vampire. And were some of the vampires like CGI? I know like changing into them was, but were some of them like CGI?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you have Nicotero and Savini in this movie. I don't know if they worked on it. I would imagine they would have. I didn't look that far into it, but like, so some of the practical effects were really fucking good, but then there was some, like, you can definitely tell they used some shitty 90s CGI.
But like some of the oh, we see also Ricky, he gets bit by Santanico, and he's dead. But obviously with the practical effects in this, you know, you got Savini and what's his face?
Nicotero.
Nicotero on this as well. So like you knew that this movie would have amazing practical effects. And it does. Like some of the vampires. Danny Trejo looks fucking sick. Frost, he looks sick as well. Like all of them when they turn to vampires, and even like the vampires later on, like everyone looks different.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Like some of them have like little horns, some of them have like wings, like they're all kind of different.
Selma Hayek's character, she like it's she kind of turns into like almost a lizard looking one.
So yeah, the vampires have arrived. Pretty much all like the dancers and like, people like work at this bar are vampires, and you see all like the truckers and bikers getting killed. We see that the band is also vampires, and the lead guitarist has like someone's like body, and then the leg just stuck in the bottom of the body. Hilarious. Yeah, so they're fighting all the vampires. We see Sex Machine ends up stabbing the bartender with a stake. I did find that like these vampires died pretty easily. Like I
And like,
know a couple characters die or get turned into vampires, but I felt like just like the amount of vampires there was, like I don't know. I felt like it was going too quickly of them killing them.
like they obviously have like their superhuman strength and stuff like that, but like everybody that's fighting them, they're just like normal people. And like even the kids, like it just, I don't know. It didn't seem overly believable that a lot of these people could kill this many. Plus, like you have like 50 probably vampires going up against like how how many, 10 maybe, not even 10
Yeah,
people.
exactly.
I
Yeah.
just feel like any other movie they'd be fucked.
Yeah, exactly. But we see one of the vampires from before was like this big, huge, like fat guy, and he's coming after Seth and Jacob, I think. And then Frost is like behind him, and he's like, and he says something like, "You're gonna pick on someone, pick on me." And the big guy turns around, and Frost just fucking rips his heart out and just like holding it there. And then like he gets back up, and then Sex Machine like grabs a pencil and stabs it. So good. So we see Richie did turn into a vampire, and they were about to kill Richie, and then Seth is like, "I'll blow your fucking head off if you touch him." And then he's like, "Hold him," and it ends up killing his own brother. Obviously, he has to, right? And then you hear all like these Batwings. So there's all these other vampires that have arrived. So they kind of board up the place for now, to try and stop more from coming in. And I love this scene where they're going around trying to like stake the people who were killed. And then Kate's there, like it's like a pretty good looking guy, and she's like, "Duh." And she's like, "Can't do it." We do see Sex Machine as I'm getting bit, but he doesn't tell anyone that he got bit. And Seth gives like this kind of like speech to Jacob, saying how like they have a pastor here who could help them defeat the vampires. And he's like, "Are you a mean motherfucker, mean motherfucking servant of God?" And then Jacob's like, "I'm a mean servant of God." He doesn't want to swear. But this movie does have like a lot of comedy in it as well, which like I love about it too. Because in this scene we see they're like I'm talking, and then like in the background you see Sex Machine. He's like starting to hear the vampires call for him. They're like, "Sex Machine, kill them all." And then you see like his tooth change into a fang, and then his hands change, and yeah. But then he turns into a vampire. He looks really sick too as a vampire. So then Frost or Sex Machine ends up biting Frost, comes up like behind him and bite him. But then Frost throws him through the fucking window, breaks it, so all these bats come in. And then I love this scene too, whenever Frost like turns around, and he's the way that he looks as a vampire is fucking terrifying. So they end up going into the back room. Jacob got thrown behind the bar, so they're in the back room and they need to get Jacob somehow. Jacob was also bit as well. But we see him grab a bat and a shotgun. He like forms it into like a cross, and like when he like looks up, and just like the whole room just full of vampires.
It's so sick.
So yeah, they're in the back. Jacob does end up making it back to the back room with them, and they kind of have like a rally. And Jacob says, "You know, I was bit. I'm gonna die. So like, you have two choices. We gather as many weapons as we can and go and fight these fuckers, or I'll be turning within the hour or whatever, and you deal with me." So they see all this like stuff that they've gotten from the truckers, obviously, over like however long that they've been here for. So they're kind of going around putting together weapons to use. What was your favorite weapon out of what they made back here?
Honestly, man, that fucking crossbow was so cool. 'Cause it was like a fucking pump action crossbow, which I've never seen
Yeah.
before. I don't even know if that's like a legitimate thing, but like I don't think it is. But
Yeah.
it's just like it constantly had tension on the bowstring, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
And you'd shoot a bolt out of it, and then you'd fucking pump it, and it'd pop up a new one. I was just like, that
Yeah.
is so fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Well, hold
was
on,
there.
hold on. What was your favorite?
Oh, my favorite? Although like impractical, I feel like Seth's weapon was cool looking. But I feel like he would be so easy to attack because it's this fucking massive like don't know, construction equipment.
It's almost like a jackhammer
Like,
without
yeah,
the
exactly.
hammer part.
And he put a stake in the other end, but it's like this massive thing. Like, it's huge. So, but yeah. And Scott had like water guns with like condoms with like holy water in it. And then Jacob was using his shotgun. So they end up getting out into the back into the bar. They're fighting all the vampires. I love because Kate is fighting with a sex machine, or no, not Kate. Seth is, and then Kate shoots its head off, but then like grows another head and turns like this like fucking werewolf looking thing. That was really cool looking. They end up blowing him up. Jacob is fighting Frost. I love that he like shoves the shotgun in like through his stomach and then is like shooting the things. And then like, how does Frost die? Think Jacob was like, if they hit him with like the shotgun or something like that, then like Frost like ends up like killing himself. He's just like melts instantly or something like
That how
that.
it is? I don't remember him, how he died. Oh, sex machine kills him.
Does he?
No, that's how he changes him. He bites him in the neck. Jake kills him.
Because Jacob kills Frost, yeah.
He shoots him with his shotgun.
Yeah. But so Jacob ends up becoming a vampire and he ends up biting Scott, I think, right? And Scott ends up splatting one of the condoms on his face and like burns half his face off. And then Scott ends up shooting him. But then he gets taken by like five vampires and he's getting like fucking eaten. And then he's like, kill me, Kate. And Kate's like, I can't. But then she's like, has his, she doesn't have a straight shot for sure because she is like all over the fucking place. But she ends up shooting him, like blows all of them up. And so now it's just down to Kate and Seth. They're like in the middle of this. There's like all these holes of sunlight coming through. And then Seth realizes, hey, Kate, shoot more holes in the wall. So they're shooting holes in the wall and like all the sunlight's getting in. So like they're kind of staying alive for now. But then we hear like Carlos outside, like, what the fuck's going on here? And then Seth's like, shoot the fucking walls. And you hear see like fucking big booms and they come in and then they're running out and everyone inside gets blown up because like there's a disco ball there.
Which is such a good addition to this scene.
Yeah. And I love they get outside. And Carlos is like, what the fuck was that? Were those some psychos? And Seth's like, do psychos fucking blow up when sun hits them?
He's like, I don't believe in vampires, but I believe my eyes, and my eyes saw vampires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, through the whole movie, that was like Seth saying, he's like, I don't believe in vampires, but we got vampires. Guys, what are we dealing with here? We deal with vampires. Seth is going to El Rey or something like that, with Carlos. So I believe he's working for Carlos. Like, is that what is happening?
Well, Carlos had a whole bunch of money. So I think Carlos is like, I think they're working together. I don't think he works for him. Because Seth told Carlos to get him a car and to bring him the money. So he's got a briefcase full of fucking money. And then Seth freaks out on him. He's like, why the fuck would you pick this place of all the places that we could have stopped at? And he's like, well, he's like, it's right on the side of the road. It's called the Titty Twister. It's open from dusk till dawn. He's like, I figured it'd be perfect. And so then Seth tells him, like, you're not getting the cut that we talked about. He's like, after the night that I just had, like, you're taking a smaller cut. And then Carlos is like, what do you think about the car, man? Like, it's a pretty sick car, eh? And Seth's just like, I mean, I asked for a new car. And then he drives away, and it's a fucking Porsche. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
And Carlos is like, hey, my buddy, you only drove it like 5 times in 14 years or something like that.
He's like, it's like new.
But he ends up giving Kate some money, and then Kate is like, well, do you need some company? And he's like, well, I'm going to El Rey. He's like, I'm an asshole, but not a motherfucking asshole or something like that. And Yeah. I thought this was gonna be a prequel to Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers came out before this.
I know. But I
Which
love
is,
to oh go
go ahead.
ahead.
You
I was
go.
gonna say I love that whenever Carlos, I don't think you said this, but Carlos, when he's talking about the bar, he's like, yeah, it's open from dusk till dawn. It's like name of the movie.
Name drop the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say it's just crazy because like this was out in 96. Natural Born Killers, I think, was 94. So, Juliette Lewis, she was only 21 in Natural Born Killers. She's 23 in this movie, so like fucking crazy, man. And she's really fucking good, man. Like she's an underrated actress, I
I love
think.
her, man.
She's so good. But before the credits roll, the camera zooms out and it reveals that the top of the bar, or that the bar is actually the top of a Aztec, like I don't know, mountain thing, whatever they are, like the tomb or whatever.
And there's like all like the old like trucks and stuff like that you see like just kind of rotten.
So it's not the first time this has happened.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything
All right.
else?
No, I'm good.
Alrighty. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. How did you rate this movie?
Well, you already know, so don't act
I
like you
do already
don't.
know. All right, call my ass out then.
I give it a 4.5. I haven't logged this on Letterboxd yet, but like I don't know, I feel like I was maybe around like a 4 before, maybe. I don't know. Just really good time of a movie, like at one of my absolute favorites. I love the acting in it, I love the characters, I love the score, the cinematography, the way it was shot, the like editing, the practical effects, obviously, and like the story. Yeah, man, it's like near perfect movie for me, honestly. Like,
Okay, that's fair.
how about you?
I give it a 4. I do love this movie. I think it's great. It's been a while since I've watched it. There are some things that for me didn't quite hold up, but I mean, overall, it's just so much fun. The first little bit, like you take a little while to get into like the actual vampire part of it. Like that probably doesn't happen till about halfway through the movie. So like the first half is just basically like a crime, like an action crime movie, which is it's fine, like it's good. I agree with you. Like I think Tarantino did an awesome job, but he's a piece of shit. I think all the actors did great, like from the low level guys all the way up to the very top. I haven't watched a whole lot of Harvey Keitel's movies, but like I think I want to watch a bunch of
I
them.
really want to he's the Deer Hunter, right? Like that's his
I
movie, isn't it?
think no, that was
No, never mind. De Niro and Walken.
right. Oh yeah, Christopher Walken's in that.
But yeah, I know what you mean though. Like I've only seen him in, I think, like Reservoir Dogs, pretty much.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of his movies, but I want to. But anyways, yeah, 4 to 5 for me. It's a great movie.
Nice.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: a pulpy crime drama vampire film hybrid. From Dusk Till Dawn is an uneven but often deliriously enjoyable B movie. Wild, this is considered a B movie. I mean,
I
I
get
understand. I get
it. Yeah,
it.
I get it too.
I just mean like with the star power that's in it and like with Robert Rodriguez directing it, it's just, I guess he does have quite a bit of B movies. Like the Machete movies are definitely B movies. But anyways, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say like a 72.
66.
A wow, that low, eh?
Yeah. That's on 56 reviews. The audience score is a 76 on 250,000 ratings and an average score of 3.8 out of 5 or a 7.6 out of. What does Letterboxd have?
So Letterboxd has a 3.5 out of 5. You already know our scores. If Anthony gave it a 4 out of 5, Alec gave it a 3. Nathan gave it a 4.5. Screaming Cinema gave it a 4 to 5. John gave it a 3.5. Slash Captain 4.5. That's it.
Nice. All right. So pretty well regarded,
Yep.
which it's expected. All right. Well, that brings us to our
Cunning Stunts.
How did you rate the stunt?
I forgot that it's stunts. I'll give it a I'll give it like a f 3 out of 10. I really liked like the fight scenes. We also didn't mention Sex Machine's whip that he had. It was pretty cool.
So sick.
Yeah. Yeah, a few gunfights, nothing like crazy, you know. So yeah, 3 out of 10. Favorite stunt. I'll go whenever I don't think we mentioned it. Oh yeah. Whenever I think Jacob or Seth uses his whip to rip Sex Machine's head off.
Oh
Thought that
yeah, that
was
was
cool.
cool. That was
Yeah,
cool.
yeah. And stunt I would like to try. I wanted to stick with the whip for all three. That'd be kind of boring.
Certainly Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I'd love to use that crossbow, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
How about you?
My stunts, I give it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
I said lots of gunfighting and like people flying around and some hand-to-hand combat, but like nothing crazy. It's funny that you brought up Savini's whip because I have that in here too. I think that was just such a cool addition, and he looked so sick with it.
He did, yeah.
Like even like he fucking uses it to grab the beer out of Nicotero's hand. I don't know. I think it's so. My favorite stunt, I don't know, like if you'd really consider it a stunt, but I mentioned earlier that I was going to bring this back up, but that whole scene in the liquor store, how they shoot out all the bottles and he tosses that fucking flaming wad of toilet paper. I just think it was just so innovative and cool the way that they did all that. It was just, I don't know, a fun scene. And stunt I want to try, I want to use that dick gun, man. I just feel like you would never expect that. It's just
Definitely not.
such a cool weapon.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that wraps it up.
Yeah.
I hope you remember that you have to pick a movie.
I do, yeah. So I'm sticking with the horror action theme.
Okay.
I have two movies that I want to do. I can't decide which one.
Do you want to put it to a vote on Instagram?
We could. So it does come out, this will come out on the week of Halloween. So maybe either you let me know which one you'd rather do, or we can do it, put it to a poll.
So you're going to give two and you want me to decide?
I mean, sure. So I'm good with either one. So either Mayhem with our girl
Okay.
Samara Weaving,
Fucking lover.
or we could do a batshit crazy B movie that is
Okay.
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Fucking Jesus. Okay. All right. I love both of those options. I'm gonna put it to Instagram
Okay, that's fair.
because I don't know if I could choose between the two.
I know, yeah.
All right. Those are good options. I like it. Beautiful. All right. Well, we don't know yet what our next movie's gonna be, but it's gonna be one of those two.
Yeah.
So if you follow us on Instagram, keep an eye out for the poll that will be posted probably.
Cool.
But in the meantime, catch us on social media at a podcast on Pure Road on Instagram and shoot us a message. I don't know. If you have any movies that you want us to do, let us know. Yeah.
Yeah, or hop on.
Or hop on. Yeah. Hopefully we get some people that are doing that. Yeah, those are good options. I like that. Anywho.
Cool. All right, well, talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
Right. Bye.